Everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. So this is commenting on the Russo-Ukrainian war, which has been going on for 2.5 years, in case you'd missed it, and there's little sign of it ending. But I want to focus on one particular aspect of it, and that is recruitment, having enough soldiers with which to fight. Russia invaded about 200,000 troops in February 2022. Remember, they already occupied Crimea illegally, bits of Luhansk and Donetsk regions. And some people who were already there, they were in part of the so-called Luhansk People's Republic, Donetsk People's Republic, these unrecognized breakaways, which Russia then annexed into Russia. So the 200,000 troops is in addition to a few people fighting for the LPR and the DPR, who were really Ukrainian traitors. Okay, sometimes they were ethnically Russian or whatever, but they turned against their own sovereign state. And Russia's been thought to have well over double that now, well over 400,000 troops in Ukraine, suffers something like 500,000 casualties, you know, at least 120,000 killed, about triple that amount wounded, sometimes, you know, disabled for life, sometimes trivially. Ukrainian casualties really don't know. About a year ago, they admitted to 30,000 war deaths, although that's probably an underestimate. And obviously, there'll be more killed since. But anyway, there are signs that Russia is really struggling to recruit. If we think they're losing roughly 200,000 a year between killed, wounded, and captured, you'd need to replace that. But I mean, they have something like, is it 600,000 young men turning 18 this year? So that they could lose 200,000, replace another 200,000. They still got a 400,000 excess. They could still expand the size of the army. Now, of the 600,000 18-year-olds, a lot of them, some of them are disabled or whatever, might have various exemptions. Frankly, they're just rich and well-connected, not going to be conscripted. They've recruited anyone they imprison they think is suitable, increasingly pressurizing migrant workers from Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. But getting migrant men to join is going to be increasingly difficult. Before COVID, Russia had 10 million migrant workers, overwhelmingly from former Soviet countries like Uzbekistan, Armenia, Moldova, wherever. But now they're building about 6 million migrant workers. That's a 40% fall. In just 5 years, a 40% fall. What if it to carry on falling at this rate? You know, obviously, in a few decades, there'd be none left whatsoever. So people from former Soviet republics are less inclined to go to Russia. They were the last to be employed, last hired, first fired, often because of racism. And they don't want to be pressurized into joining the army, whether it's used as meat attacks. Their lives just frittered away in hopeless diversionary attacks. That's a decoy for the main thrust by professional Russian soldiers. And since the Kroger City Hall attacks, there's been a spate of racialism, a lot of police harassment. About 3,000 Tajiks turned back from Russian airports in the last few months. And they prefer to do, you know, better paid jobs sometimes in the Middle East, occasionally worse paid in China, but they don't suffer so much racism or Kazakhstan they can go to overland. So these two sources, people in prison and people from Central Asia, they've been really reduced as a potential to recruit people. So the defense ministry claimed between January and April 2024, over 100,000 men volunteered. But, you know, there's nothing more dishonest than a Russian official statistic. Don't believe it. Don't disbelieve it until it's been actually stated officially. Because it's a supposedly good statistic, you'd have to assume it's half what it is. If it's a bad statistic, as in war deaths, you'd have to assume it's double what they say. That's my rule of thumb. This year, the bonuses paid to sign a contract, the military, have increased remarkably. So a private soldier's salary is equivalent to about $2,100 US a month. Now, that is over double the average salary in Russia. That is alluring, particularly people from poverty-stricken remote regions. But the bonus for signing up varies from region to region. In Moscow, it's a staggering $22,000 US. But the Moscovites are the least likely to apply. It's the most bourgeois, most educated, most cosmopolitan city in Russia. You might say, well, that's usually the case with the capital. Yeah, but this is off the scale. I mean, as a Moscovite said to me, Moscow is a different country from the rest of Russia. So it's very centralized. You know, Moscow is at something like 12% of the population, but of the wealth, it'd be 50% quite easily. Of rich Russians you meet abroad, 8 out of 10 will be Moscovites, 1 out of 10 will be from St. Petersburg, and the other 1 out of 10 will be from somewhere else. All the best stuff, universities, hospitals, whatever, is in Moscow. And they automatically assume capitals are superior. So that they usually don't want to join. is offering so much because Moscovites earn more. All right, the cost of living is higher there. The property price is almost Western prices. But they can't. The thing is, they less inclined to join. You know, you have to tempt them, and unemployment is very low there. So anyway, so a man from Moscow has been offered $60,000 salary for 1 year of military service, which is a staggering amount for a Russian because it's so difficult to get them to join. And they probably won't pay that. The other thing is they always renege on their promises. But that's showing you how bad it is, the recruitment situation. There's laws of supply and demand. Why would they increase bonuses and salaries so dramatically if they did not have severe trouble convincing people to sign these military contracts? So soldiers are constantly lamenting the fact that they've been duped and they're being cheated out of what was their contractual entitlements. So yeah, their enlistment bonuses in less affluent regions are much lower, but it can still be like up to 14 times average monthly salary. The 85 regions or republics in Russia, and 51 of them have increased the bonus scheme since the war began. There's also a refer a friend scheme. Even if you yourself are not volunteering, you are the one who persuaded my friend to join. You, as the persuader, you get a bonus, lesser one, and he gets it. They're only recruiting men to fight. They do recruit women for non-combat roles. Only 4% of the Russian army is female. So I know every army is mostly male, but the Russian army is more heavily male than just about any other army in the world because they're really believing in their gender roles. So the volunteers come from most economically deprived regions, as I say, and they're disproportionately ethnic minorities. There are 200 indigenous ethnic minorities like Chechens, Dagestanis. The Chechens claim they've joined in the highest numbers in proportion to their population. The Buryat people from the Russian Far East, Yakut, Chukchi, Tatar, and so on, Mordovians. Anyway, the government obviously is having severe difficulty persuading enough people to join, and they think that suasion will be achieved through financial inducements. So the government wants to avoid a large-scale mobilization, such as they introduced in September 2022 with that decree, and one of the articles of that decree has still not been publicized. We don't know what it is, presumably because it would be so shocking, it would panic people into trying to leave the country. They don't want it to be unpopular, difficult to enforce, and people trying to leave the country. But you say, well, we're just going to close the borders to men between certain ages, but they might leave illegally. Remember, Russia's got the vastest land area in the world. The border in Russia and Kazakhstan is one of the longest land borders in the world. And of course, the border guard is stretched very thin. They're not allowing more recruitment to that. Anyone who leaves it for any reason is sacked or resigns. He's going to be recruited. So they just don't have the numbers to properly secure the border, walk over, drive over into Kazakhstan, stay there illegally if necessary. It's a big country, try and be hidden there. The thing about these bonuses is the money's any good to you if you live. What if you get killed? And they've complained, some of them have been fighting for 2.5 years, haven't had a day's leave. So Putin just treats the soldiers really badly. The Western army say, no, we have to be humane. Give them a month's leave after a year or something like that. Compassionate leave to go back for a funeral. I mean, I knew a guy in the Royal Air Force serving in Iraq for 6 months, only a 6 month tour, but he's allowed a holiday in the middle of that. And he could pick where it was, his twin daughters. He went back for the birthday of his little daughters. Anyway, the draft is still going on, but at a low level. Obviously, there's a biannual draft taking people in for their 1 year of military training. Remember, Putin said that no draftee would be sent to Ukraine. Ha, ha, ha. So public holidays have particularly emphasized recruitment. There are all these theme parks related to the Second World War. And of course, according to the Putinite lie, this is the Second World War all over again. It's always the Second World War. Russia is always supposedly defending humanity, and the enemy is always like the Third Reich. So, but you come across this sort of furphy in Western rhetoric as well. So I know you might think in the United Kingdom, for example, people are always harping about the Second World War, but really in Russia, it's just ad infinitum. And all right, it was a seminal moment in their history. They had millions of people killed, millions. And the Soviet Union did more to defeat the Third Reich than anybody else, a fact which is not sufficiently appreciated in the Occident. So some employers have been privately told by the government to ensure a certain percentage of their employees volunteer. If you want state contracts, if you don't want trouble with the tax authorities, you better play ball. So on the 31st of July, the Russian parliament said that they will not exempt fathers of three or more minor children. If you're three or more children under the age of 16, you could not be drafted. But they've changed that again because they're running short of troops. But one thing about that exemption for fathers of three or more little children, it also incentivizes you to have more children. And they've got this demographic death spiral. Because there's another thing is, you know, if a young man gets killed, that's terrible for his parents. They might be able to have more children to replace him. But, you know, if a father gets killed, that's it. It's his wife, it's his children. Those children can never get another dad. If your parents, you might be able to have another child. You know, if you're a wife, girlfriend, you might be able to find another man. You can never get another father. You can get a stepfather, but people say that's not the same. Anyway, so some occupations are exempt from the draft, such as intelligence officers, police officers, politician. And the police are told if you resign from the police, you're being drafted straight away. The police have suffered from low morale, long hours, poor salaries, and so on. They're really looked down on. If you can do nothing else, you're a complete failure, you can join the police. So the government is really striving not to draft people in information technology and banking because they're in such short supply. Plus, they'll be tempted to emigrate, and people in IT can very easily get jobs abroad, can work remotely, and Russia can't afford to lose this. They've actually accelerated the brain drain with their draft. So Ukraine is also experiencing severe problems with recruitment. Now, they're drafting about 30,000 men a month. So that's more than enough to replace losses. But then they've got to be trained for at least several weeks before they can go there. There was an operation, what was it, Interflex in the United Kingdom, trained over 50,000 troops over the last 2.5 years. The trainers from Australia, Denmark, New Zealand, Sweden, all over. It's going on in Romania too. But that was only about 5 weeks, a crash course in very basic infantry skills. The Ukrainians were meant to upskill from there. And I'm told one of the reasons actually both sides are not doing very sophisticated attacks is there's not great all-armed cooperation, and they can only do things at whatever company or battalion level, 100 troops or maybe 500 troops. They can't do really large-scale operations with several thousand troops coordinating. And the infantry and the armor and the air force and the artillery, they're not great at acting in concert, either of them, because I've never been a military man, but I'm told that requires an awful lot of training, and they just haven't had time to war game these sort of things. And if you send troops who are half trained into battle, they're more likely to commit some very fundamental errors, get killed, or indeed accidentally kill their comrades. So you could send these half trained troops into the front line, but they'd be less effective. And Ukrainian troops often also complain rancorously. Sometimes they haven't had any leave since the war began. So the government says we can't afford to under pressure in several sections in the east. Russia thinks numbers is their advantage, but Russia is running low of numbers as well, because they thought military age males, they got something like 35 million. But of course, some of those have got exemptions for disabilities and reserved occupations. It might be more like 25 million. How many have they drafted already? You know, so you might say, well, that's still not a ruinous number. But I think Putin is going to be enforced to introduce a draft. You might not say this is a mobilization to panic people, but there's a low-level draft of at least several thousand a month. Just have to increase it and increase it. It's already sort of affecting the economy. But that's why there's more of a chance of a ceasefire next year, of negotiations, which Zelensky has more than hinted at, that maybe Russia doesn't have to withdraw unconditionally before they do this, and so on. Draft evasion is rife in Ukraine. Obviously, there's a lot of corruption, and so people paying recruitment officers to let them off, to be diagnosed with medical conditions, make them permanently unfit for military service, even if they're fighting fit. So only 29% of Ukrainians consider it immoral to evade the draft. But, you know, what about the poor guys who have been fighting for 2.5 years and getting killed, you know, or getting wounded, or just suffering? Even if I don't get killed or wounded, see it happen to other people, I don't want to see that. And the psychological scars, well, these are wounds that people might never recover from. So there are tens of thousands, at least tens of thousands of Ukrainian military age men abroad who've not returned for the war. And then, you know, Ukraine's allies are not forcing them to go back. And if you don't go back voluntarily, we will arrest you, handcuff you, and put you on a plane or something like that. If Western countries, if they want Ukraine to win, it's gonna take that. Ukraine could draft a lot more people, could draft women into non-military service. So you have to send the war effort. You can't necessarily be a hairdresser or whatever, or a shop assistant. You're going to have to do something for whatever is useful for the war. If it's driving a train, it's working on a farm. Some women are already working in mines who didn't used to free up men to fight. But I thought incentivized Nepalese and Pakistanis to fight with two countries with strong military traditions, the Nepalese particularly serving the British and Indian armies. And Russia had some success recruiting Nepalese. but openly say, and you'll be paid this salary, and unlike Russia, actually pay the salary you promise, and that news will get back to Nepal. They could come in via Moldova if Moldova would allow that. The thing is, and we'll give you citizenship on day one. You sign the contract, here's your passport. That might be attractive to them. So, well, obviously it's terrible. I wish this war wasn't going on. It's entirely the fault of the Putin regime, but exhaustion may set in. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.